Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 566. I am Chris. Tony is not here, as always. He will be joining us. Earl's here.
It's because he has kids. I mean, he gets an excuse.
I guess. I mean, they're, you do have to get them to sleep, so.
Kids can go to sleep on their own. If you use them to their own devices, they are honest and will stick to the rules, I am told.
For sure. It's got something in the house that will help them go to sleep. Just
give them some food. Are you trying to tell them to get drunk?
Give them an edible.
I don't know if that's better or worse than telling them to get drunk.
Jeff safe. Is here as well. Always safe.
Jeff going out for Parent of the Year.
My wife's been watching these like veterinarian shows. And this one that she was watching today, guy brought his dog in, very lethargic. And like when he came home, he found like these pills on the ground. And he thought the dog had eaten the pills. So they like, you know, trying to figure out what's wrong with the dog, what's wrong. Evidently, he ate his roommate's pot. So the dog was stoned.
Dude, we had an incident like that. I don't know if I told you guys. It was terrifying.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Not good, bad. I was very mad about it. It was not my fault.
I mean, you don't want to like hurt the dog, and also your
it's dangerous. Just, yeah. It's like for a dog, it's not like a human where nothing would happen to a human, but
yeah, like they get very lethargic. It actually can be deadly to them, but
yeah.
Like eventually they were just like, okay, the dog should like it'll run through his system.
Yeah, it was leave him alone. Nightmarish day for me. It's like, oh my god, this dog. Fuck. There's nothing you could do either at that point. It's exactly like you said. Yeah, like you just gotta. That's it. Like
yeah, that's like if it was like something else, maybe you can like counteract the medication. But there's really no like antidote for a dog that has taken pot. So
yeah.
For kids, remember keep your dogs say no to pot.
Yes,
it's fine for kids. Give it to your kids.
I don't know if it's fine for kids. What are you trying to do to the next generation?
I'm trying to help Tony get his kids to bed. Someone send him a text. Tell him I got an idea.
Next thing you know, Tony's like, "Yeah, my wife came back.
Yeah,
custody of the kids now.
Call the cops on me."
All because I took Jeff's advice.
I don't like my parents and my in-laws never gave us like the advice of like put a little whiskey on their lips.
Oh yes,
but I heard when
we were kids. One.
Yeah, like I remember, like that was something that I don't know if my mom ever did it, but it was definitely something I heard around like when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I didn't have any trouble going to sleep though, so maybe that was why I never got any whiskey.
It's either that or I think it's usually for
breathing.
Yes.
Yeah, so you put it on the to numb the area around the teeth. Yes.
Yeah, I'd make a great parent. I know all the home remedies.
see, the downside to that is the people you give it to can actually agree either way, because it's not like the kids are going like, yeah, that stuff hits the spot. That's why I went to bed, or yeah, tonight.
Yeah, they're too young. They're not giving that that feedback.
And let's be honest, we all I can't speak for all of us. But we all know that you have a quote unquote good night's sleep when you drink too much in general. So it could also just be that they were drunk.
Could be, yes. Speaking of drunk, not that you guys are drunk, but what are you guys drinking tonight?
Miller Lite.
Okay. I am continuing my streak. I am having a. I find these get less and less creative as we go along. This is literally just called an Oktoberfest. It is from the Upinia Brewing Company in Big Lake, Minnesota. I will say I've been disappointed that all my Oktoberfest beer have been from the States. I mean, it makes sense, but it's like still kind of disappointing. This one has malts, Vienna. Oh, what is it? It's just, it doesn't even say flavors or anything like that. Of the ones I've had on the air, this is like my least favorite. It has a taste, but it's not. It's kind of more. The other ones had this like smooth caramel taste to it that was just really good on the tongue, and this one's just kind of more bitter.
So I saved the 8-bit cover art one for tonight. I'm drinking the adult Icarus.
Awesome.
From Ingenious Brewing Company. It's a quadruple IPA, and it is very strong. 12.5 alcohol percentage. I'm not sure I like it, but I also don't generally like IPAs, so you guys might enjoy it.
It depends. I'd say, I don't know. There's some IPAs I do not like, but generally, like, a good IPA is, like, my favorite type of beer. Usually not that strong. You said, what, 12%?
Yeah, it's 12.5%.
And that's just an IPA?
It's a quadruple IPA.
Okay, that's okay. That's what I was wondering about. Because I'm like, yeah, usually, like, once you start getting double digits, it's like, it's either, like, the double IPAs or, I guess, quadruple, as you said.
Yeah.
Which I think would be a first that I'm hearing of a quadruple.
I don't know what that means, so.
I don't know.
I honestly don't know what it means either.
I don't even know what IPA really means. I mean, I know what it stands for, but.
It's just a type of ale dependent. Like you could get them in different regions. A lot of people just kind of make them, like, you know, you can get a New England Pale Ale and stuff like that. So it's just the type of pale ale.
Yeah.
Not that that helps any, but. So it's an ale.
It's just, I just know it tastes good and flavor. I like them.
See,
I had another.
For me, but I find that, like, okay, don't get me wrong. They still taste good, but I guess personally, I just feel like IPAs taste the same after a while.
I mean, a lot of them do, but then it's like, good. I'm like, you know, hey, what IPA do you have here? And then I'm like, oh, pretty reliably, I'm going to like it, right? But, you know, some of them have like that weird piney, like I think are just trash. Like I don't like them at all.
That this has like a very piney, it's almost like I'm drinking a fucking Christmas tree.
Yeah, no, see that.
I'm not disgusting. Enjoying this at all.
See, like if that's what you're like... If that's like was your introduction to IPAs, or like if most IPAs you've tried taste like that, then
yes,
no, you don't. No.
So I had another one, like, and I was out earlier this week on Tuesday, with some people from work, and my buddy was like, no, you should try this one because he was getting it too. It was a blueberry, it was like a blueberry lemon IPA or something like that, and it was okay. Like it still had like very hoppy taste to it, but it did not taste like you were drinking a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
That one's a little bit better.
I think my favorite one is Antihero. I think it has like grapefruit, a little grapefruit in it or something. Mm-hmm. It's like citrusy, really good. I think, and I don't know if Antihero is easy to get by you. Probably not. But one that's easy to get everywhere, I think, is good. It's like really, really fucking heavy though. Like, is Lagunitas. So I don't know if you've had those before, but I think that's
not.
A good one. Oh, really?
That's maybe a pretty standard brand, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why I was going to recommend it to Chris because it's everywhere.
Well, I generally don't drink. Like, I wouldn't go out of my way to try an IPA either. I think I've seen it, like, but I've never tried one. Maybe I can get one that's like a single.
Yeah, just try. Yeah, try like what's the one I like? I mean, you could just get the standard, but then there's like one stronger one. I don't know. It's been a while since I've had them because they're like just one 12-ounce like Lagunitas is like 40 carbs. Like it's fucking insane, dude. But they're good. Like they taste good, and that's like I think a good representation of what like a good IPA would taste like. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out for it. My fridge is stocked currently, so I think I'm good. But if I come across one, or if I see, like, do they have it on draft at places, Jeff?
Yeah,
or,
yeah, usually.
Maybe next time I go out, I'll just take a look and see if it's on there.
They're on draft here, and you know, it's a California. I think it's California based. I think they got bought up by one of the big brute, like Budweiser or somebody. You know, like, but. Anyways, they're everywhere.
They all do.
We went to a tapas restaurant or whatever like a week ago, and I wanted. They were like understaffed, and so like I ordered an old fashioned, and it took like 25 minutes for them to get it to me. So I was like, all right, my next drink is just gonna be like, get me a beer, right? Because I don't want to wait forever. And I was like, give me, and I ordered whatever they had from the brewing company that makes Anti-Hero, my favorite one. I was like, give me whatever Revolution beer you have. And they brought it out, and it was a sour, and I've never had a sour before. I thought it was terrible, dude.
that's like one of my, like, sours and stouts are like my go-tos.
I had one sip of it. I'm like, this tastes like champagne. And then it like clicked in my head. I'm like, Melissa will like this. And I gave it to her, and she liked it. Like, she actually went and bought some. So now Melissa finally
has the one that she likes. She took a couple pictures of. Yeah.
Freedom of Speech, I think it's called.
Yep.
It tastes like champagne to me. Gross. I did not like it.
I'm not a fan of champagne, but I do enjoy the sour.
I don't know. Anyways, found a beer that my girlfriend likes, so that's cool.
I'm just surprised you never had a sour, and I'm surprised you just like them. I'm a huge
fan. I did not like it.
They tend to be slightly stronger, so they tend to be, you get smaller, they tend to be 10-ounce pours usually. And they I find that as much as I enjoy them, they are more sipping beers, I think. Like, they aren't beers you drink really fast. They're beers you kind of enjoy.
It tasted really light to me. Maybe it isn't a sour. I have no idea, dude. Like,
well, I mean, it could be a sour. Some of them are very fruity, but like, because of the bitterness.
I don't know. I didn't. Whatever it was, whatever Freedom of Speech is, did not like.
I was going to say, there's a running joke my friends always have. It's like, if you find an interesting name beer, the odds are always that it's probably an IPA.
All right. Well, the reason that I held the Adult Icarus for this week was because we're going to talk about Metroid. Jeff doesn't want to talk about Metroid.
I don't know. I've never heard of this game.
Metroid Dread. You haven't heard of it?
No.
The fifth
Metroid. They made a new Metroid. I thought there was. Oh man, I was just waiting for Metroid Prime 4. I've never heard of it. Like, another one.
You should play it. It's fun.
I played it.
Yeah, I think we have three very differing opinions, maybe, of it. Jeff, did you finish it?
I stopped at the final boss. I have no desire to put myself through what that fight is going to be. So, in my opinion, I actually almost did log it as one of my finished games, because I played through the game. Like,
you're at the final boss. You finished it for the most part.
Yeah.
Have you finished it?
No, I am taking my time with it. I've also just had a very busy 2 weeks, so I don't even know where I am in the game. I would say about halfway through, because I've beaten my third Emmy, and I've gotten, I think the most recent thing I got is the speed booster.
Okay. You're about to enter the back half of the game, which is, in my opinion,
where it becomes BS.
yeah, kind of. Not that it wasn't before then, but.
I'm very curious to hear about this, because I think I haven't had any issues with it so far. I mean, aside from one incident, which I feel like is super popular, because I had a friend who got stuck at the same place. I'm like, I know exactly where you are. Because it's like that one, I mean, site spoilers, it's that one area that you're supposed to go to a different part of the map that you think you can't progress any further in. That is
you're looking for a pitfall block, I think, right? Yeah. Like, it's like you're scouring everywhere, like, I don't know where the fuck to go, and it's like in the upper left corner of the map is like which is very Metroid, like, it's, you know,
yeah, but some of the other ones it makes sense, like there's something to shoot, there's something that kind of triggers or like what happens sometimes, and I prefer those, it's like you go someplace and it's like, oh, I fell off of this area, and it's like, oh, this gets me to a new area. That one is like very much, you just got to shoot. And my first inclination was to shoot upwards, because you could see enemies up top. but yeah. You shoot down.
Yeah, no, I know exactly where you. I think I know I got stuck there, and I'm assuming we're thinking of the same thing.
Yes.
So, you both are well past me.
Where? So, where are you?
Carteris.
Second area or whatever.
Yeah, I think I'm like almost done that area.
Well, I was going to say that the thing is, and again, I guess this is very much Metroid to Jeff's point, is that I thought I was done areas, and then it's like, oh, no, you kind of come back to certain areas because you'll find different routes into them and you'll get new powers. I don't necessarily always know how to do it because sometimes those elevated load screens are way too much.
Yeah, the load screens are rough from section to section. It's fine because, like, then once you're in the level, it's really not too bad. But I haven't gotten the next whatever the power in Cardis is, if there is one.
There's a power in almost every area. Actually, I think sometimes it's really weird how the power ups work because, like, you tend to get one from the Emmys, then you find one that usually nearby that you need as well, and then you get one. Actually, you don't get one. But yeah. And then you sometimes get the, what is that thing? You get the Omega Key after you fight an eyeball.
Yeah. And then you can take down one of the Emmys. I don't like the Emmys at all.
No?
I just don't mind them. Like they're just kind of in my way.
They're another thing on top of things that I found annoying. If they were the only thing, I would be like, that's an interesting idea, you know?
Yeah. I didn't find them annoying. What I did find annoying, and not annoying, is that the Emmys are, I think, are really cool. They add a nice sense of tension. And most of the time, and I think the game doesn't do it, but like you're not trying to combat them or you're not trying to hide from them. You're just trying to basically run through and figure out the area as fast as you can. The problem with that then becomes usually like once you beat the Emmy, they don't really replace with anything interesting. It's just like, oh, here's some enemies in this area now. And it's like, oh, but you have like this map that's just like not as fun without the Emmys there.
I enjoyed when they were gone. I like being able to explore, which this game does not let you do enough.
That's my issue with them is like I'm trying to figure out where I need to go in the map and like that thing shows up and basically it's like you have to get out of there. Like I guess you could stand still and hope
they get a little tougher too.
Yeah, because like you get to the second area and all of a sudden they can like fit through holes so like you can't slide under something and be like, oh, like
well you can't slide under it. But
you can't slide through their vents that they use, like the
right, because their vents are like weirdly shaped. Like, but like before, like in the first area, like you could slide under something and the Emmy can't follow you because it.
Oh yeah, they can. Yeah, yeah.
And then it starts to be able to, you know, once they become the green Emmys.
How about the Emmy zones too? Like as the game goes on, become bigger and bigger. So it's like a bigger area you have to explore and figure out where you got to go. And you know, the whole time you're at risk. Usually it's they find you pretty early and you're like, I'm gonna try running this way, and then you realize, okay, that way's a dead end, he caught me, I'm dead, I'm gonna do it again, I'm gonna try running up. You know what I mean? Like it's just
well that was a thing. Like so I got stuck in an area, and both you and Earl told me like you're probably in the right spot. You're just not doing something. And it was like you needed to stand on a platform to move something. But the Emmy is chasing you during this. So like, I didn't realize that, like I'm not stopping when the Emmy's there, like, but you need to get like a little bit of space between you and the Emmy, stand on the thing. So it raises like the water level or whatever.
Oh yes.
And then you can like run around and slide under and
yes. Know. And I think it also shows on the Emmy cause that one can't go in the water.
Yeah. Cause like once you do that, then the Emmy is stuck. Like, but it's just like I didn't know I needed to. I'm just like, go. What the hell do I need to do? Until finally, like I finally stumbled across, and I was like, oh, good.
When you get the thing that could kill the Emmys, like every time you do it, they make you like shoot this door. Like basically, they like show you again how to kill the Emmy before you head back into the Emmy area. Mm-hmm. Because at that point, I swear to God, like, killing those Emmys, it's like you're using every button on the fucking controller.
Okay, yeah, that's my biggest complaint with the game, is that this, like, it's like, they don't see a button on the controller they don't have an interest in. And I'm like, oh, like,
you feel like my hands are twisted into claws. Like,
yes. Because the game also, I'm enjoying the game, but it asks you to do a lot at once too, where it's like, okay, we want you to press this button. So we want you to like turbo dash past this enemy. At the same time, we want you to, like, you know, aim your rockets and this shot to make sure you hit this thing while you're going down. I'm like, wait, what? You could actually do like one of these things.
I really wish you guys were further so that we could have like a discussion about the back half. Like, I wonder, like, I don't know what Chris is going
like
to say.
I like to discuss the back half. That's my favorite half.
Welcome, Tony. I don't know what Chris is going to say, like, his impression is so far, because he's not really that far in, and like,
I don't love it. Like, and yeah. I'm playing what it seems to be the easy part of the game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's bad.
Did you fight Kraid?
No. Didn't fight Kraid yet.
I think that's like
the end. That's the end of the section. That's the end of the section he's in.
So probably like right near there.
I think like your reaction to that. See, will I guess be your reaction to the game.
Yeah, and that's what I was curious about, because like you said that, I'm like, I fought Kraid twice, and I fought the spider, the first boss, I think 3 times. And it's like, every time I'm like, I understood what I needed to do. I just need to get better at the timing.
No, I wasn't sure about Kraid, because I thought you had to like beat a second phase before you went up top on him. And it's like, you know, you don't. Like, every time he shoots those things out, you could go up to the top. And then further, like, I didn't realize how important countering him is, like parrying him at the top, like that, like gives you so much health and missiles that like it makes it a little easier, but still like pretty long. Like, just my opinion, I think it's like way too hard of a boss fight for super early in the game. Like, it's ridiculously, like, it's going to remove a percentage of, like, a significant percentage of players from going further, and it's like an hour or two into the game. Like, it's kind of insane in my opinion. But anyways,
see, I was kind of I guess, because I understood my own limitation, so I what I started to do is, like, in that second part, I just didn't bother trying to actually I didn't bother trying to counter him. I would just fall down during that part, because I could do the climbing part no problem. The part where you have to, like, get up and
your margin for error is so slim in this game throughout it too. It's like,
but I also
felt like the amount of damage you take is crazy, and there's not a lot of energy tanks lying around. Like you get hit once or twice in this game, and you're like on the ropes. Like,
I mean, I guess the counter part to that for me is that they are super generous with the if you do the counter. And I find most enemies, their counters are easy enough to tell at least the first time or two you meet them.
I don't like parrying and stuff in games, and I hate being forced to do it. Like, that's why I didn't like Sekiro by From Software. It's just like, I don't like that. Like, why are you forcing me to? I don't know. I have a lot of issues with this game.
We're not
even scratching the surface of them yet.
And that's also a big, like, it's a big Mercury Steam, like, Metroid thing too, right? That was the thing they added to Samus Returns. Like, you have to, you really do have to, like, learn how to parry here.
At least the window is usually, I mean, the window is really small against the Emmys, like, and it moves around, but
yes.
No, it's fucking impossible. Like, it's,
you just get lucky one out of like 100 times.
It was funny because I did it the very first time I encountered an Emmy, I got it, and then like every other time, I have done it like 3 times the entire game. But I was like, oh man, I did it the very first time, like, oh, this is gonna be nothing, and like everything, every time else has been an utter.
So anticipating when they're going to shoot the needle at you, and they change how long they take to do it.
It's random as to when they'll do it. So it's like you can't even like get muscle memory.
A lot of times I'll just be kicking the thing while it's not even doing anything yet.
Go ahead, Earl.
Oh, no, I was going to say, because they give you that visual cue, but it's like, you have like a millisecond to respond. So you have to know the visual cue is coming up to just know how to press X. Because there's times I press X, and like then they will do it like the second after. I'm like, I hate you so much.
But like the regular enemies, they normally have, there's a bigger window.
Yeah.
Like, especially on like the bird things. That's where I kind of like refill my energy and missiles. Which is good, because like you end up using your missiles and health a lot, so
there should have been more energy tanks at the very least in the game. Like half the energy tanks, or like more than half probably, are all fucking partial energy tanks. Oh, you have to find four of these to get another energy tank. Like, what the fuck is that, dude? God forbid the game is fucking fun to play.
I think it's fun to play.
It's not.
But yes, I do find it weird that they're like, oh yeah, we're Zelda now. Here's like,
yeah. You've never
done that before, right? Am I missing something here? Because like the first one, because it's the same thing with the missiles, where it's like, oh, there's a bunch of 2-2 missiles. But really, the big prize is when you get the 10 upgrades.
Like at the end of the game, I think I had like 6 or 7 energy tanks. Like, and I'm telling you, like, that's like 6 or 7 hits. So you're going into a boss fight that takes like fucking 10 minutes to do. It's like, okay, I gotta be perfect and doing counters in order to get past this. Like,
yeah, I noticed like in the first area, like you could take a couple hits, like the birds, like little things, like they only do like 20, 30 damage. But like once I got to Cardis, like the enemies there, they hit you and they're doing like 70 shot. It's like, wait, I only have 199.
Wait until you are in the second half of the game, and like every other room, there's these. You'll get in the room, they'll close off the room. And it's not an Emmy, it's like a Chozo robot soldier, they're called. And you have to fight them. Like, they're like, it's basically a mini boss. Like, and they're all over the back half of the game. And you have to, like, they're tough. Like, you have to, like, be doing, like, you get the dash thing, like this dash move. You have to be, like, again, using all the fucking controls all the time to fucking kill these things.
Yeah.
And they're everywhere. And then near the end of the game, like, then you beat a boss, and then you, like, get 2 rooms away from, like, this is, like, an actual boss you beat. And then you get, like, 2 or 3 rooms away from the boss. Then they close off the room again, like, and there's 2 of these motherfuckers in there chasing you around. I'm like, that's when I decided, like, I hate this game. Like, it
I was with you, and I mean, I haven't encountered that exactly, but I remember doing that with Kraid. I'm like, wait, so you have me fight this boss, and then you give me nothing to refill my health afterwards? Like, you're just going to have me walk around here after I beat up, and then, like, you get it, like, several rooms later, but you have to go through a bunch of enemies and stuff before then. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to wait and, like, count, like, in those little things I can counter, because that refills your health. The other thing, and I think the game did a poor job of explaining this, is that with the bosses, when you counter them, like, you don't want to just counter them to counter them, because when you counter them in the cutscene, you can also attack them. And I didn't understand what was going on the first time that happened.
A lot of times, like, you have to, like, counter a boss, and then you have to counter a second attack. Like, you have to get 2 counters in a row, and if you screw it up, the cycle starts over. And that's also true of those Chozo robot soldiers. So, like, these little mini-bosses that are scattered fucking everywhere in the back half of the game, they'll do 2 quick times on you in a row. If you miss one of them, the cycle starts over. So it's like, oh, I guess I'm just fucked now. Like, I don't understand why the game had to be this way. Like, I'm sorry. I'm firmly in the camp of, like, I did not like this game. Like, it makes me really sad. It, like, really is, like, a huge bummer to me. And that's having, like, made it. Like, I just don't want to put myself through, like, the amount of anger that I would know that I would do for the final boss. But I played through this game. Like, I fought all the bosses, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I got past it. But did I have fun doing so? Not really, especially, like, later on, like, and it does this other thing, too, where it's, like, near the end of the game, it's, like, you have all these moves that allow you to be able to explore everywhere, and then once you finally get them, all of a sudden, it's, like, the whole bottom half of, like, you know, the world or whatever is frozen over, and it's, like, So you're funneled into going a certain way anyways to go fight more bosses. Like, the game is so combat, like, combat-focused.
And I think,
it doesn't, like, I mean, that's not what I like in these types of games.
Yeah, I've heard that complaint. I think so far they've done a good job of kind of, like, eating you without eating you, but clearly there are parts where I guess it's like, no, we need you to go this way, and they hack off stuff, and I get that. And I know a lot of people have had frustrations because they play these games with expiration. Yeah. I guess that wasn't my jam. I'm with it so far.
Well, it's like, it was also so difficult that, like, I'm like, okay, now I have all the moves that you would need to explore everywhere, so I want to go over the map and get everything I could get. I want to get every energy, no, you can't do that. Because we're just, you got to go this way now. Like, we got to force you towards the end of the game. And, like, not even towards the end of the game, just, like, forcing you into more fights. Like, it's just, I the word I was saying to you guys is it's aggressive. Like, the game is really one of the most aggressive games I've ever played. Like, it wants to shove your face in the dirt constantly. Like, and I don't know why. Why are you trying to be Dark Souls but bad? Because, like, Dark Souls, at the very fucking least, like, there might be a trick to beating a boss, but you don't have to use that trick. You could fight them however you want. Here, it's like, no, you gotta do this exactly this fucking way, and then hit this, like, do, like, you know, Dark Souls doesn't have fucking quick time events. Like, it just leaves such a fucking bad taste.
So, a question on that, since both of you are further in than I am, like, the parries with the bosses, like, can you beat them if you screw them up?
Some of them, I don't think so. I think you have to do them.
No, you could. I mean, I you could beat the bosses without the quick time events. I beat Kraid without the quick time events. That's what I'm going with.
That's not one where, like, it triggers. No, that's different. There's ones where it's like, you'll just keep fighting the guy if you don't do the thing. You know what I mean? Like, it'll keep doing the cycle unless you fucking do the thing. Like, some of them, you have to do it.
There's not, like, and that's something I kind of wish was visible, is, like, what is the boss's or even the enemy's, like, damage?
Well, they can't show you that because it's a fucking, it's smoke and mirrors. You have to do you have to, like, trigger this and trigger that. It's not a health bar.
No, I get that. Like, but I wish that there was some way for me to know, like, am I making progress here, or,
I mean, the only way I've noticed with bosses is the same way that you notice with any old school bosses. It's like they change phases. Like, Kraid, sure.
When
you fight him, he will get to a second phase where it's like, oh, okay, yeah. But outside of that, like, there were times where I'm like, am I doing anything? Is this working? And then it turns out, like, oh, yeah, you're doing the right thing, or you're doing what you need to do.
Yeah, because, like, I fought that, the scorpion-type boss, like, it's, like, the first big boss, really.
Yes.
I fought that creature, and it's, like, he goes through these phases, but then it, like, loops back to, like, the original phase. I was like, is this the third phase? Like, or, like, because I missed one of the quick time events.
Yeah.
It's like, am I, like, just back to the start of this? Are we doing it again? What's going on?
Do that phase again, probably.
You don't need the quick time event for him. It helps, but you don't. And he was the one I didn't realize. Like, I didn't realize the quick time event was happening because I didn't notice his tail was like, his tail lights up.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, you can slide under him, and then you can hit him again, and then, like, charge up your beam and shoot him in the face.
Yeah.
I remember getting to that boss and being like, that was kind of, like, a little difficult for the first boss of a game, but I don't know what people are bitching about. Like, 'cause I had seen some people say that it was too hard, and I was like, I don't know. Like, it was a little challenging, but, you know, no big deal.
Yeah, like, it.
Yeah, dude, that was the last time I said that in that fucking game.
It feels like that one particularly feels like an old school, like, Nintendo boss, right? Like, not necessarily a Metroid boss, but like a Ninja Gaiden boss. Like, you have to learn the pattern. Yeah. But then, like, because there's no tell, like, I think that was what was really annoying me, is, like, that fight goes on pretty long.
That's the thing.
And I was like, I don't know if I'm actually making progress here. I eventually beat him and was able to move on to Cardis, and then like they instantly throw you like this weird armored thing that like shoots fire out its ass and blows up on both sides. So that wasn't really that much fun. Yeah, well. and like you have to learn like, you know, the different tells of each of the new enemies, but I don't
and some of them have and some of them don't have tells.
Yeah.
Which pissed me off.
I don't hate it, but it's not I'm not like I don't feel a desire to like keep playing it like I have other games in the series and generally really, Castlevania games.
I really was driven to play through it because I love these types of games and I love especially Metroid. So like, and it kept getting more and more frustrating and making me more and more mad as I went along. But I like, you know, forced myself to go through it because I, you know, I'm like, you like these types of games. but like, you know, at the end of the day, getting to the end of it, I'm like, normally I would just start a second file right away. Like, this is totally the type of game that like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to play it again right away. I don't know if I'll ever play this again. Like I left such a bad taste in my mouth. It's weird. Cause it, and the other thing, like I'm saying all this stuff, but I do recognize it is a quality game. And I do think that, players that aren't frustrated by like the constant like aggression of like having to fight these like mini bosses and bosses constantly. I know there's going to be people that think it's the best Metroid game they've ever played. It's just for me, no, not at all.
Yeah,
there's no other M.
But it's like if someone tells me that if someone I like that game too, but if someone tells me like they love it, I'm like I get it. I get you know I could totally see someone loving it. I just personally I don't understand. You can even go to a route that you did with the game, but why is there not like a lower difficulty? Like it would not be that hard to do either. Like change the energy tanks, do something. Like
right, like yeah, but I mean you could half the like half or half quarter the damage or damage, yeah, like, yeah. And up Samus's damage, and like that would just like make it a little bit easier.
No, but if these motherfuckers, Mercury's team thinks they're from software, like, and they're not. Sorry, they're not.
I would not have predicted when this game was announced, I'd ended up liking it more than you two. I will wait for further until I'm assuming I'm getting to the point where Jeff is talking about. But like, so far, I've not had any problems with like anything that I felt was unfair. I feel like it controls so well that like anything that kind of screws up, I'm like, oh, I see what I did wrong. Even with the Emmy encounters, I'm like, okay, I just need to be a bit more patient. Because like this, the green Emmy, the yellow Emmy, whichever one's the speed one, because that like the like, not the window, but like it moves so fast that because you know like you have to what am I saying? Because you have to kind of stand still for like 5 seconds. When the Emmy's coming at you in order to trigger the in order to get the first shot done, and then you have to, you know, stand still longer to charge it up. The charge isn't as bad because they do slow down for you to stand up and stuff. But like the first two, they give you a good enough area where you have room to work with. And then the third one, I was like just trying to find a way for me to get enough room between me, because you can't break it up. You can't like, okay, I'm going to do this now and then come back, like, you know, and then run it off and have the rest of the damage. You have to do it all at once. So far, again, like I said, I think it's a rock solid game.
It's solid, and maybe be telling you, oh, it's like such bullshit in the second half, you'll be like, oh, it's not as bad as you said. You know, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
I think that might happen.
Yeah. But like, just my experience going through it was just like being angry all the time. It's like, okay, I don't want to do this again. Fuck this. Like, yeah, I could do it. Like, I could learn the patterns and fuck with this. Like, you know, a lot of bosses took me dozens of tries. Like, I not, you know, And it's not like, again, it's not like I'm amazing at games or anything. I'm clearly not. So maybe that's part of it. But
we know.
You know, I don't know. It's just why this series is not known for that. Like, what the fuck is this? Like,
I think they wanted it to evolve, which I get. But yes, I can understand the difficulty being a turnoff for some people.
It'd be like if the next Zelda, like a lot of people thought that Breath of the Wild, some of that was too hard, and I was like, nah, I like that. It's a little challenging. But it would just be like if all of a sudden Zelda was just fucking the like lost levels. Like, fuck you. Like, I don't understand why. It's so weird.
All of a sudden Dark Souls, like, it's like Zelda plays like Dark Souls. And it's like,
well, there was a little bit of, I kept saying that about Breath of the Wild, but it was never really that hard.
Yeah, it doesn't ever become actual Dark Souls.
What was cool about the bosses in Zelda is the same thing that's cool about bosses in Dark Souls. It's like, you could kind of do it how you want. Like, if you just want to shoot fucking arrows at the guy the whole time, you could do it that way. Like, I think that's the better way to do, like, something that's difficult, because it lets someone find their way to do it, and as opposed to, no, you gotta... And like, I know, yeah, it does control well, this game, but it's like, it also, like, requires a lot of control learning. Like,
well, and that's
familiarizing. Like,
I mean, everyone's like, oh, it controls so well. And it's like, I don't know, like, I don't like turning my hand into like a damn like crab claw,
yeah,
to play it. So like, to me, it doesn't control well, and that's also,
well, they feel the like smooth, but it's like
it is smooth, like you said. Well, I also think like the aiming is a little too loose, and maybe there's a setting, yeah, I can adjust, but like,
well, I think what they want you to do for that, which is you never have the time for, is they want you to do the manual aiming, which a lot of people, I mean, I most of the time I forget it exists because I'm just running around trying to shoot stuff.
Right.
And like, but yeah, there's times, especially like I got the grappling beam, and the grappling beam. Okay, sorry, the grappling beam was the most recent thing I got. And the grappling beam, to get to certain points, you need to like aim, and I'm like, oh right, I can actually just sit and aim at stuff instead of just like doing whatever. So I think that they do, but and I think some of that is true of bosses too, which some like that the spider boss, the first boss you fight, like you're supposed to aim at his head. Most of the time, it just did the charge shot and just shot in the direction. But I guess they want you to kind of like aim in a general like his head. So like, if it's on the ground, you nail. If it's up, you aim higher. And I'm just like,
oh, yeah, shit.
And I always forget rockets, because rockets are such a pain in the ass.
Yep, you have to, like, hold R1.
Yeah.
Then the aim, you have to like hold the other button. And
yeah,
it's like a 3-button combo to like manually fire a rocket. Also, another thing that like I kept doing is, like I want to kind of like file down, but it like, it really needs you to kind of like put Samus down into a crouch, and then she can fire straight and down, because like if you just press down and she'll just shoot at the ground. It's like, I just want you to crouch and shoot straight. I don't want you to waste my missiles shooting them at my feet.
Yeah, and then it gets even better, because that pressing down twice is how you activate the mothball when you get it as well. You can also, it's also the same button as sighting. It gets really fun, because there are times, like later on, it's like, okay, we need you to shoot a rocket, then we need you to mothball a bomb jump, and then do it again to get through a crevice. I'm like, yeah, you're asking me to press like 5 buttons in a row and remember everything, and make sure I do it with pinpoint accuracy, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Now do that against the boss. Doesn't that sound fun, Tony?
I am. Sign me up for this game. It sounds great. Yeah. I really want to play it based on you guys.
I have watched, like, somebody like Javi, who is exceptionally good at these games. Like, there are some things that I've watched him do, like, that are just like,
I mean, I know, like, I would never be able to do it.
How are you doing this? Because, like, man, I shoot rockets at my feet. Like, I'm like some sort of crazy person.
One, I know I wouldn't be able to do it. Two, I wouldn't. Let's say I could do it. I'm not going to spend the hour it would take me to figure out how to do it to get a missile upgrade. Go fuck yourself. Like, fuck you, game.
Right. That was one of the ones that I.
All like, the upgrades are missile upgrades, missiles. Too. Like, yeah.
2 extra missiles for doing this. Like,
I got 100 plus missiles.
But, we'll give it this. I think it's very pretty looking.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not frustrated buy it yet, like you were, Jeff.
You're so early. Yeah. It's not. I want to hear what you say. Like, I want to hear what you guys say in the back half. You know, you could love it. Like, Earl might come back and be like, I thought the rest of the game was fine. It was good. But, like, I'm just interested to see what you guys say about the back half, because I was not a happy camper.
I'm just kind of, like, so far just, like, indifferent. Like, it's not pulled me in to be like, keep going. Like, and, like, I mean, it's fine. Like, it's just not clicking for me just yet.
If I felt that way about it when I was playing it, I would have hit, like, Crate and said, yeah, you know, fuck this game. But I was like, I don't know. I want to see the rest of this. Like, you know, I've seen, you know, 10% of this game. I want to see the, like, so it, me wanting to play through it, because it's a Metroid game, like, pulled me through. But boy, was I not having fun in the second half.
But Earl, you're still playing it, so I'll poke a little bit more at it.
I mean, we again, we have the back half, but I mean, right now it's kind of in the front runner for my game of the year, so I'm very curious to see how the back half goes.
All right, so just keep on the train of games that I think are maybe 3 stars. Back for Blood.
Oh, hey, wait a minute here.
Which I've enjoyed playing with you guys, but I don't think is particularly a great game. I have some major issues with it, though, with the way it's structured.
I am curious if your issues with it are my issues with it, which is that I think they overcomplicated stuff with the cards,
yes,
and the various currency systems, and the random element. I'm like, yeah, you could do one of these things. You can't do three of them.
I don't like that it's basically like we hit that when we played this week, where it was like we ran out of continue somehow. I don't even know what that means.
You only get one. So in your run, you get one continue. Once right. You lose, it's over.
But so, why?
So now, like, everything we did is basically useless.
Okay, so you could restart, like, you could keep playing from where we lost. It right. would be a new run.
But that means like you have all money.
You lose all the copper.
The copper only applies to the run that you're on. There's the supply points are, like, permanent.
Yes, but not the supply points, but I meant more like, because like we unlock the team perks, like, you know, the health does better, you get the ammo. So then, like, it makes no sense to continue from there, because then you have to earn gold. And the game's very stingy with its materials, because, like, we did well. And I think at the end of the day, I was able to unlock, like, one deck of cards.
Yeah.
From everything that we did. And it's like, and it's not that we were doing well. We were also competing the bonus objectives and everything. And it's like, you get 30 supply points for that. I'm like, what? Then you go and it's like, a card's 100 supply points. I'm like, wait, that doesn't add up to me. And then each, like, thing is like 8 cards. And I'm like, oh, this system is broken. And then even if you do that, you can pick, like, you can have like 20 of the best cards. Okay, you get to pick one of these cards that we pick at random out of this hand for you to have for this mission. I'm like, then what's the point of building a deck?
Yeah, and then
you
like
just get one. I don't even know, like, I haven't done a second run, so I'm not sure yet.
What do you mean, Tony?
So basically, like, I played with you guys, and then I'm doing a separate run with Walter, but we're still on that initial run, which means I'm still using the starter deck on this run.
You
like
know,
I've gotten plenty of supply points to get like new cards. I've like unlocked like 2 separate decks. Already, so I have this other deck built. I just haven't done a run from scratch with it yet. So I haven't, like, because I know when I play a game in my other run, like, I'm getting 6 cards active at the beginning.
But you don't get those 6 cards active. You get to pick one of those cards. I guess I'm mistaken in the system.
See, I'm not sure how it works.
So like when the run starts, you pick one of like 5 or 6 that come up,
right.
That's now in your active pile. And then like after each level, you can pick another card to activate. Sometimes it's the same card, so you can double up on them. And I guess that's like what you're playing out.
But yeah, you don't pick with your deck. It's not like you get
right.
Like, so if you have
but
cards,
you're getting you're using those cards eventually. You're just not using them.
Maybe.
All.
Yeah, it, I don't know how they come up, but it's like a, whether it's random, but you will get those, the ones that you picked, you put in your deck.
Yes, you will get them from those. But yes. Like what I'm saying is like there would be times where it's like, okay, here's the same cards over and over again. Yep. I don't know if like if you pick it once, then it eliminates it.
No, it's like it they will show up again. Like because I like triple stacked at one point.
Yes, and that's what I mean. It's like okay, yeah. What's the
point? I keep stacking the health one because I like to be up there in the front. You know,
that's my problem, I think, with the card system, right? Is like people are going to gravitate to like one of three types of cards. Like they're going to gravitate to health, they're going to gravitate to stamina, and they're going to, well, maybe like ammo, extra ammo,
yeah.
But damage. Like you're going to up your damage, you're going to up your health, you're going to up your stamina. And then like if there's like a defensive card or something. But like to me, like those are like some of these other ones, like don't, I mean, oh, get some extra copper. Like you get 10% extra copper this year. Okay, that's great. Like you're getting enough copper on each level anyway, if people are picking it up.
Right.
Because it's shared. So I don't know. I do like the level design. Like I think that they're a little more complicated than like, you know, when we played Zombie Army 4. Like it's not just go kill the enemies, it's like I thought the one where we were in the library, like building the fortifications, that was kind of cool.
There's a few levels like that too. It's like you're under pressure, like the wave is coming. Build up the fortification before you die.
Yeah,
and I do like that they have actual. I mean, they have boss encounters, but they also have kind of like the boss rooms, like the one with the ship, where like the whole objective is really not to necessarily hang around and fight, but to get to the ship and to do the objective. And then get the hell out of there. And it's the same thing kind of with the bar that we failed at. It's like, this is basically a horde rush. Like you are going to have to hunker down and just survive this. I do like stuff like that where it makes it feel something different. And it's like, okay, this is actually the end of a chapter. I really hate how they divide it up with the acts and then having like chapters because it's very confusing. It's like act one has like five different chapters or something like that. And act two has like three. Act four is like one chapter. It's one thing. So
the thing, like the thing I do miss that the like, and it wasn't in Left 4 Dead either, but that we had in Zombie Army 4 that we don't have here is that, like as we gained experience, like we could make our characters that we were using better, right? Like you were putting points into their specials or into their weapons, right? Like so, like you could kit out your gun before you go in, and like here it's like you're relying on random shit, so it's like I hope you get what hope you come across it, and that
that
Walt doesn't pick up the attachments.
And that's the other thing, it's like I guess the counterpoint to that is like when we played Zombie Army 4, by the end of it we were just so OP'd that we're just running through hordes like nobody's business. Like we got to the final encounter and it's just like, oh, that's it, because our guns were just so stacked with upgrades and stuff. But I do like the sense of permanence. I wish there was some way that you could do it where like you don't necessarily break team, because like we're also playing on recruit, and
that's what's crazy. Like twice now we failed levels on like the easy difficulty.
So the scaling is kind of weird. So Walt and I, playing with just the two of us, are playing also on recruit. The levels are so much easier, like, but it adds so many more zombies for the extra players that it becomes that much harder. So it's actually easier to play with fewer people.
I don't like that.
You can also play it single player. You could play your own like solo.
Yeah, my problem with single player is there's no progression. Like everything is locked to the single player, and there's no achievements either. So
yeah. Yeah, I don't know why you would play it that way. You can, but I wouldn't.
It's good though. That whole like tower area, what is it, the fort? Mm-hmm. Is really weird. Like, what is this here for?
I don't understand that part of it. I don't get it.
No, it seems like it was somebody had an idea, and it's like, oh no, like this could just be menus, or honestly, and I think we had this issue, it's like, why can't I buy some of this stuff in between games? Like, I got all these cards that I unlock. Why can't I do a deck now?
You, will... what? Yeah, Well, you can build your deck and then like select it as your active one.
No, but what I mean is like you can't do it like because you pick up cards. You also pick up cards, I think, during the course of the game. I don't know how that works. I don't know if that's
you can find. You actually have to buy them unless like there are some of them that is like gives you a random normal card, but there are other ones you actually have to have the points to be able to buy them to pick them up.
Oh, okay. Because yes, so that's just cycled into your deck for that run. It's not a card you unlock permanently.
You know, I think they are permanent if you have to buy them.
Oh no, I meant the ones like because you get the random ones where it's like, yeah, here's a free card or something. That's just cycled into your deck for that round.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. I wish there was a way that like you could like spend copper to buy a continue or whatever, so that you can continue on your run.
Yeah, that would be nice.
But
you guys are just sad because we lost. That's why.
A little bit, because like I feel that like we wasted all that. Like we were starting to like I was starting to get my gun was I felt good with my gun. Like I was starting to get some good attachments, and then all of a sudden like oh we're dead. And
I would also say that I think we died on some BS because like that horror thing just went on way too long because we survived like 8 waves.
Yeah, there was like 8 different songs we listened to on that dumb jukebox.
Yes.
There's an achievement for, by the way, beating it without ever having the jukebox get knocked out.
You could prevent the jukebox from being knocked out?
Oh yeah, by defending it. Like because they just walk in and they start hitting it. That's why it breaks.
Oh, I just assumed it was like one of those points that I did the thing.
God, no wonder we lost.
Well, the other thing is like it's such a tiny area because you're inside the bar. It's not like you have the room to kind of move around.
Yeah,
and there's fire.
They're also very stingy on health and stuff like that. Granted, Left 4 Dead was like that as well, but
it's still fun.
Yes, and then, I mean, ultimately, I think that's at the end of the day, the core game is fun. It's just I have a lot of issues with how the progression works, but the core game is very much Left 4 Dead, but it's like, why did you overcomplicate Left 4 Dead?
Yeah, and not necessarily for the better. Like, it's just, like, different for different sake.
Yes. Oh, and that reminds me, and then, again, a minor pet peeve, but again, because you have the copper system, you have the supply point system, you have the card system, why do you then add that each character has a unique trait? Like, I feel like, at that point, just allow me to pick any character I want to play, and not like, oh no, you gotta pick a character that has a trait that benefits you, that then deals with the deck you're building, so that you can get enough supply points that help you to like, get enough ammo or health updates so that you're a good healer or good tank or whatever, and I'm like, ugh.
It locks you out of playing, like, so, like, if Tony picks the Batgirl, like, nobody else can play her. So, like, you're stuck with picking one of the three other characters. And then
we did after that, people. One of the seven.
Yes.
I will say, so one of the things I do like, and I'm sure other games do this, but I think it's kind of nifty and funny, is that it holds all the achievements until you finish your run. So when you go back into the hub area, then a bunch of achievements will pop up. and I think that's kind of cute just because, yeah, sometimes it's like, oh, I did this thing. I don't know what I did. And you don't have a time to read it. But at least when you're back in areas, like, okay, I can kind of digest it and see what I did and what chapters I beat and stuff like that.
Yeah. So.
Right.
Fun. We'll play more. I'm glad that it's... you know, included with Game Pass, so
yes,
the price is right. I don't know if I'd play if it was free, but it's free, so
yeah. Like, I let's put it this way, if we had paid money for it, I think I would be much more sour on it. So, I'm not a fan of like roguelike games, and that's basically what they made, like with the runs where you lose everything at the end. Like, I would be very, very upset there, but being that it's free, included in our subscription. And we had fun. Like it was a good time, the four of us playing. So, all right. What else have you guys been playing? That was a lot. We've talked a lot about Metroid. And
I was about to say, it's like already an hour in, and we talked two games. I will just go really quickly because I beat this game in the 2 weeks. I talked about this earlier in the year, but It Takes Two. I was playing with a friend co-op wise, and I think it's a fine game. I don't understand necessarily the praise it was getting when it initially came out. I think there's some parts that are rough, and it's even weirder because I think a lot of people say like this is a game you should play with your spouse or your partner, and I'm like, I think the game is unbalanced in that regard. But I also think the main character is really unlikable. And there's parts of the game where I'm like, I was actually actively rooting for them to be divorced. Because I'm like, I don't think you two should be together. I think I don't know if that's the lesson of the game. It's like, there are times where, you know, things just don't work. No matter what type of therapy Magic Book gives you that you need to go. I was happy for the experience. I think that it I like that there are very few pure co-op games, and then the sense that you need to work together and that you are doing different stuff but just sharing the same space. That said, I felt like there were times they had ideas and they just kept on hammering that idea in until it became very repetitious and tedious, where it just stopped being fun. And I felt like they did that way too often. Like, oh, this is really novel and cute. And then like an hour later, I'm like, oh God, is this section over yet? And I don't know if they play tested it, where it's like, you know, the Rune of Three is fun at times, but you don't need to do it for everything. And I'm not just talking about boss encounters. There are like, you know, like different puzzles and stories that you get. And it's like, okay, I kind of got the idea. Now we can move on to the next thing. And they would just keep on writing it to the end of the time. So, yeah, I mean, if it's on Game Pass or if it's on Games with Gold or PlayStation Plus title, I'd recommend playing it. You only need one copy because you can play with a partner pass.
It's still done through EA?
I believe so.
So it should show up on Game Pass at some point, yeah.
Oh, I'm interested.
It's one you need to have somebody to play with, though, yes. Right? Like, that's the problem. Like,
is it? It was just one of those games. I'm like, I was going to play with a friend anyhow. But yeah,
I think it is a co-op only game. Like, you cannot play it single player. So you need a partner to play it with. Maybe if it hits Game Pass and somebody here wants to play. I will give it a go then. Anything else, Earl?
The Ascent, which I'm still having fun with, but like I tweeted about this yesterday. Me and my friend, I mean, I have several different game nights going, but like we've picked some winners this year because we've had The Ascent, we've had Outriders, and we had Torchlight 3, which are
so
all.
So you're trying to play broken games?
Apparently so. That is our goal, is to play broken games. It's like, oh, we're excited for this, and the game comes out. And, like, the core game's fun, but then it's broken in such frustrating ways. Like, yesterday, I mean, okay, so last week, and this week it happened again, the game breaks in that you can't see your HUD, so you can't see how much ammo you have, you can't see when your powers are active again, you can't see when your grenades are ready, and it just makes the whole thing frustrating. Because it's like, I can't play the game this way. Should I back off? Am I dying? Am I fine? Should I recharge my gun? Does my gun have a ton of ammo? And like, yeah, sometimes it's easy if the gun has like 10 shots. It's not a big deal. But like, I got a turret yesterday that has 200 shots in it. I don't want to reload it every so often if I have 150 shots. I can continue using that. But if I have 5, I want to know. And then we had one incident where I got stuck in the environment where, like, I was stuck in a room and, like, the entire, like, back half of the game just disappeared. That one was an easier fix. They just had to trigger a cutscene or something and it pulled me forward. We had it yesterday where we played a encounter that we had to play 4 times because it crashed 3 times. And we were just like, as this. And the 4th time it passed through, and we're like, you know what, we finish, just go save and go to bed or whatever. It's like, it's at some point, I don't know, like, as much as I want to say, oh, this game is fun, it's so frustrating with some of these bugs. And they've had, I think, 2 major updates since it's come out, and they fix everything. But I'm like, yeah, the game's still broken, it's still frustrating in co-op. there's no way in this game to fast travel to your friends, and there's really no good way to track them. You just kind of have to roughly know where they're going. So it's like it doesn't even like explore and on your own and kind of figure out stuff. It's like, yeah, you gotta kind of stick together. Some of the enemies can be just bullet sponges, and then it does this thing, which isn't a bug, it's just annoying, is that it's a 3-player co-op game. If one person goes down and they like, pass out, it's game over. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't just like make the other two people finish and try to save them after the fact, but like if they go down, it's just game over for everybody else, and that's dumb. So yeah, it's I will continue playing it because this is a game I'm currently playing, but it's also just super frustrating with some of the choices they make.
All right, Tony, what have you been up to?
Well, I think it's just been a lot of killing zombies, and some Madden. I'm really sad that they added this awesome new update to these scouting in Madden, where you send out like scouts regionally, and they like gather intel on prospects in the region and tell you like who's the best guy and blah 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 blah. And I'm 3 years into my franchise, and it only applies to new franchises. So it's like they added this huge game-changing feature, but it wasn't in the game at launch. Since I've been playing at launch, and I'm like three seasons into my franchise, I have to start over to literally use it.
That sucks.
Yes. So like it's great that they put it in there. Awesome. I really look forward to using it. Maybe next year. I don't know. I really don't want to start over. My franchise is going really well. Things are good. I don't know. it makes me sad. Like they put all this money into this franchise every year. And how do you like launch with a feature like that missing? Why are you adding it months after launch? I just don't get it.
Yeah. Why didn't you figure out a way that like, we're now what, 3 months since the game came out? Two months since it came out. Why didn't they figure out a way to fit it into people's save files already?
Yeah. Well, the really annoying part is, whenever you launch the game, it prompts you to start a new franchise. Like, fuck you, game. Stop like shoving this in my face. I hate you.
She's taunting you.
Yes. But that's about it right now.
Jeff, anything besides Metroid?
Well, the big thing is Hot Wheels Unleashed. I've been playing a decent amount.
Yeah, tell us about Hot Wheels.
That
was on my list this week.
Yeah, I kind of, we talked about it once before, but I guess kind of reiterating everything I said about it. Like, it looks great. It's fun to play. It's very basic arcade racer, but also feels like true. Like, it feels like it adds a Hot Wheels spin to it, like, with how easy it is for you to fly off the track. Or, like, if you go into a loop that's, like, real big or whatever, and you, like, don't have enough speed, you'll just kind of run out of speed at the top of the loop and just fall. Yeah. And it's got that hook of, for each event you're doing, you're getting some sort of, like, money. And you could use that money to unlock blind boxes, which give you more cars. Like, and also, like, sometimes you'll just get, like, here's a blind box for beating this event as well. So, like, sometimes you'll beat a race and you'll have two blind boxes off of it or whatever. Like, sometimes a lot of those times, I think I have gotten duplicates now at this point. So I'm like, oh, it's not always going to be a new car.
And do the duplicates, like, do they just get transferred and you get more money from them, or
I swear to God, I saw two of the same car in my car. Okay, that's not good. It's like, okay, what the fuck? I've been playing a decent amount of it and I'm not done with it yet. Like, to me, the only like drawback to this is it doesn't seem to like, it just feels more like it's for single player. Like, I don't know, maybe I should just go check out the online or whatever, but like, like, I just wonder if I get through a single player, I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's it. Because it's not one that I've, like, played with anyone else yet, so I don't know.
They're a split-screen racing?
think there's only two player split screen, so that's like, you know, it definitely is a drawback compared to Mario Kart on that front.
Yeah, if it was four player, that'd be great. Because like, there's like a lot of cool cars. I saw like they added some Batman cars, and I think I saw the DeLorean in there. That would be really cool. Like if you could have four players playing with all those different cool cars.
It's like, because of that alone, I'm already like, well, maybe I'll play this with Melissa at some point, but she doesn't seem... Actually, right. I always play it like after she goes to bed, because I don't want to get too far ahead in Diablo as anyone else. So, like, that's like my late night game lately has been Hot Wheels. And I think it's really cool. Like, I really like it. It's to the point where I'm almost like, Forza, whatever. I got a cool racing game. And I still want to play the cruising game. Like, every time I see clips of that cruising game, I'm like, this looks awesome. Like, I saw a clip the other day, someone's, like, racing as a unicorn or something. I'm like...
Yeah, I saw that, too.
That's, like, that's way more, like, that and this is way more out of, like, what I want out of a racing game.
Like just Forza, completely outlandish.
Yeah, Forza approaches like the arcade style more, which makes me like it, like Forza Horizon anyway, but it's not, you know, it's much more grounded in reality than this stuff is.
Yeah, it's real cars. It's like a real open world. Yeah, there's tracks goofy and stuff, but...
The tracks and Hot Wheels are pretty well done, too, cool. I think. So, yeah, I think it was $50 or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's 50.
40, 50. And, I, you know, I'm pretty sure it hasn't gone on sale yet, but like...
Which one?
Hot Wheels.
I'm waiting for the sale because the Batman stuff they announced this weekend.
But I have no regrets buying it. I really like it. So take that as, you know, I would get like wanting to wait at this point. Like, oh, maybe a couple weeks it'll be on sale. It probably will.
But, I'm like, it's on my list. Like, I was like, I think I want to buy it this weekend, but it's also like, I could wait. Like, if I could wait 3 weeks, like, it might show up on like the Xbox, like, you know, Thanksgiving Day sale.
That's what I'm hoping. Buy two, get one free sale. Though I think I just had one for games.
I'm really hoping Cruisin' goes on sale on the eShop for Black Friday. But
I just got it because it was too good of a deal. It's $30 and it came with a $10 gift card. Like, that's essentially $20, so.
Yeah, that's not bad, but I really like Hot Wheels Unleashed a lot. If you like arcade racing, if you're into Hot Wheels, I don't know, I think you'll dig it. It just looks so good, too. Like, it is really, like, one of the best-looking games of the year. It's just so crazy. Like, you would not expect that.
No, I think everybody is like, oh, Hot Wheels game, like, that's going to be... It's gonna be like low budget trash, and it seems like it's actually a legitimately good game.
Like,
so.
like if there's like a sign, like a neon sign in the background of the level, like you're racing around someone's basement, and there's a neon sign. It's like the neon kind of like reflects off the surface of the track, like the shiny surface. I don't know, dude. Like, it's like it's impressive for what it
like
is.
That. It's like, did you guys ever play like back when your kids play Micro Machines on the Nintendo?
I don't think I did.
So it's like this like little racer, but you know, with the Micro Machines license. And like you're going through these levels that are like there's a boat level, and it's like in a bathtub, you see like stuff on the side that like, you know, bigger items and like there's tracks on like desks and stuff. Like, I like that, and like this is like a bigger version of that, where it's like we've made a racetrack, like a kid's racetrack, but it takes place in like a real house or wherever. And that's like really cool to me.
Yeah, me too. Like, it's like, I'm not like the biggest Hot Wheels person in the world, but like just that idea, I think is really neat. And just like I said, like the way it's like, you could so easily go flying off the track. It feels like you're playing with toys. Like it's neat. It's like it's a spin on the genre, you know?
I'm gonna keep an eye on that one. I think I might be like Earl and just wait till a sale comes on. But I'm definitely gonna play that one.
You know, Black Friday, everything's gonna be on sale, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm gonna scoop up Cruisin'.
Well, the only problem I would say with Cruisin' is it's a Nintendo first person title.
Oh yeah, that's right. They published it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one might be tough. It's like there might be a little discount on it.
But. I don't know, dude. It's probably not lighting up the charts right now, so.
That don't mean nothing. I've been waiting for a sale on this DC Superhero Girls game since June.
Also true.
Couple weeks, boys.
I mean, like, we're having a DC sale on everything else, and that's the one game that, because it's published by Nintendo, it's like, no, this is staying $60. So.
Anything else, Jeff?
I mean, other than Diablo, no.
Real quick, I've been playing some horror games. I finished Soma, which is pretty good. It's interesting. It's first person. I don't want to call it a walking sim, but like, there's like an enemy, but you don't fight it. Like, basically, you want to avoid it.
Let's say Silent Hill, Shattered Memories,
something like that. Yeah. And so, like, there's a pretty cool, like, science fiction story going on with that one. Mostly takes place underwater. It's pretty cool. I don't think it's on Game Pass, but well worth playing if you get a chance. Then I popped one on that is on Game Pass, Visage. Came out a little while ago. That game is bloody awful, and I quit it.
No.
I couldn't. It's like you move so slow. I couldn't figure out the story. I played for like an hour and a half, and like the story, like, I think maybe you murder your wife and kids at the beginning of it, and then like you're on like some sort of guilt trip, and you're going through their rooms, and horror ensues. I don't know. It was pretty shitty. So I deleted that. Then I popped in Outlast 2, which it's an older game. I think it's a few years old at this point. I really liked Outlast 1. I started this one up. I was not in love with it.
I couldn't get into it. I think I bought it on a sale. I forgot on which system. I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, you bought it on an Xbox because you're on the time leaderboards there with mine. I actually just passed the amount of time you put into it.
I probably did not put. Oh, so it shows how long I played it.
Yeah, you played it for a couple hours.
Oh, really? That's more than I thought.
But
I have very little memory of it. I remember not liking it.
Like, I really loved the first game. Like, it's like, and it all takes place in that asylum. And this one is like way more open. Like you're out in a village and cornfields, and like it is not pulling me the same way.
Like that first one is just so simple. Like it's just it. Like you're in this fucking building, you gotta sneak around. Like it's just, and then here it's like this one. It's like they got ambitious. And they tried to.
They got ambitious. How dare they try?
I don't know. Like it. I again, maybe it's good if you actually play through it and everything, but like, I don't know. It didn't grab me right away, and then so like, I was just like, I think I bought it for like $7 or something. You know, I was like, fuck this. Like, I just moved on. Like, I probably had a few other games I was juggling, and
yeah. You know, so
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying,
yeah, I don't think it's bad either. It's not as good as the first game by any means. It did. Just playing this one, I also start up Alien Isolation.
Now that's a game.
It is very good, and I played a portion of it before. I hadn't finished it though. But both of these had like rewards points attached to them. Outlast 2 had like if you die 5 times, you'd get the monthly points for it, and then Alien is included on the like. Oh, here, play one of these 10 games and get an achievement. And then I think it was like for like 500 points or whatever. So I was like, I installed both and I'm playing them, and they're Alien much better than Outlast, but both fairly decent games. But I was wondering, like, what's the point where you guys are like, this is good, but it's not capturing me enough, and I don't know, like if I stop playing this, I'm probably never gonna return. So like what's the point for you guys where you're like, yeah, it's time. Like I'm done with this.
One thing for me is how much money I spent on it. So Back for Blood, it was free, and I played half of the tutorial. If I had spent $60 on that, like you guys were saying, thank God it was free, but like if I had spent $60 on that, you better believe I would fucking give it more of a shot.
Right, right.
So price is a thing. It's not even...
That's fair.
No, like I'm going to do it with the Outlast 2 because I bought it on sale. If I had paid the full, whatever, 25, whatever.
Yeah, this is definitely more in for Outlast 2 where it's like, there's like so many other games to play. And this one's, it's not bad. It's just not, it's not drawing me, but I know that like once I stop playing it and uninstall it, I'm never going back to it.
And Alien Isolation can be a bit of a slog. It's long.
Yeah,
I think that game is worth it. Like the game is,
it's very good.
Yeah, if you're into Alien, it's like really cool, dude.
There's a lot to that game though. So it's a time commitment. It's like I don't know if I have time to put, you know, 12-16 hours into Alien and 8 to 10 into Outlast 2. Especially when there's like other games that are out there. So I'm like debating, like if I uninstall Outlast 2, this is probably the last shot for this game.
These days, like if I look at a game and it's like, oh, this game is 40 hours, a lot of times it's just a pass. Like,
yeah,
I don't have that much time to put into you game. I wish
you
I did.
You put 40 hours into Madden. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
but I'm talking, I mean, like there are certain games where you're like, I love Madden, so I'm gonna do that. But if I'm like, I don't know if I like this game or not, but it's story based, it's 40 hours long. Do I give it a shot? Maybe I don't.
I think there's also a difference, Tony, in like, you know, with Madden, it's like, all right, I have 45 minutes.
Right. It's the difference between people who are like, oh, I'm not in the mood for a movie, who then end up binge watching the episode of a TV show.
Yeah.
It's the same time, but mentally it's because you're getting three full things there where it's like, oh, if I just wanted to do one, I can do it. Which is again, like I've said it before. Like if you were to look at my time during the pandemic, I put the most time into anything into Fortnite. I would not say Fortnite's my favorite game. I'm not saying Fortnite's a great game, but it's like Fortnite's like, if I want to pay for like 15 minutes, sure. If I want to pay during the podcast, you folks never notice. But
it's like, I would never play Madden during the podcast.
Exactly.
Not right now. No, never.
I didn't play any games on this podcast at all. I've been focused on this the entire time. But it's like it's the same thing with Madden. Where it's like Madden's not asking you like, okay, if you start Madden's like, it's gonna be a 40-hour single play. It's like, yeah, you play a bunch of games, it adds up over time. Right. But it's never asked. It's not up front, and I get that completely.
I'm just playing one game. Again, it's gonna take me half an hour. I'm gonna be done. I could never come back to it. I just had that one game. I played the whole thing. I'm good.
I just think though, kind of a separate thing. But like, I just think some games feel like 30 hours in Dark Souls feels like nothing to me. But 17 hours in Alien Isolation felt very long. So certain games feel different. It's not. It's not always because one is a set time sport game or.
Like, wonder with Alien 2, Jeff, though, that game is very tense.
Yeah, it's very, yeah.
Like, and which is a weird thing to say, like, because it's like, oh, it's a video game, but like, it is very, like, it's a very tense game where you're like, there's good scares in there, and it builds up tension very well. So playing it is a tense experience, whereas, not that Dark Souls isn't that, but it's like a comfort game for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wonder if, like, you know, 18 hours in Alien feels like 18 hours because it's just this like unrelenting tense experience.
And you know, that's kind of on the long end for like a single player story.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Dark Souls is not very story focused. It's kind of go explore. Like, you know what I mean? Like different things. Yep. Like, so it kind of all depends. I would never say if a game is long, I won't play it. It's just, I don't know. It depends on what it is. You know, sometimes long doesn't feel long.
Yeah, I was just wondering where you guys fell on that, because I am very close to, like,
I just feel like since you did not beat Alien Isolation, you should try to power through.
Well, that's one where I am more drawn into it just because I love the franchise. And, it's this really cool, like, wow. Like, they have mastered, replicating that look.
Yes, all the set, the production design. Yeah.
Like, it feels like you are in the original movie. Or in that world, at least, at the very least, where you're exploring and, you know, all the screens are like 1970s, have that 1970s feel to them, green screens, and it's really cool. But Outlast, on the other hand, it's like, I don't know, like, it's just not capturing me. And, like, it's obviously very well made. The story seems interesting, but it's like I could just move on to something else. Like, Alan Wake is just there begging to be played.
Begging.
That's it for me. There were two news items I wrote down. I don't know if we have anything else.
I'm sure we have a ton, Alex, but what are your two news items?
That Uncharted trailer.
Yes.
I did not watch it.
You didn't watch it, Tony? Did you see it?
I saw the the screenshot framing, and I'm like, I can't watch this. I can't do this to myself right now. I don't want to look.
Earl, you seem less enthused by it than Walt and I did.
It seems fine.
Yeah,
it's ironic because you would think you take. Okay, not ironic, because you take Uncharted out of video games. It's a very generic franchise. It's Indiana Jones. It's The Mummy. But I expected it to be Indiana Jones and The Mummy. It kind of looks like a generic Tom Cruise movie. It looks like the best of Mission Impossible. I think mostly it was the plane scene at the end. Like, I know, like, that set piece is out of Uncharted, which you realize how ludicrous it is outside of the video games, where he's kind of...
Yeah, it's like really, really dumb looking.
Like, yes.
In real life.
And it's like, oh. And again, I will go with it. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, you know me, I don't watch some action movies. I've seen all the Fast and the Furious movies multiple times. I'm not going to be snobby about it. It just looks... It looks so weird, and it doesn't look like Uncharted. Like, I think I said this on Twitter, because, like, right after Uncharted trailer came out, there's a new trailer for Red Notice or Notice Red or whatever, the Rock, Gal Gadot, and Ryan Reynolds movies is. And I'm like, that felt more like an Uncharted movie to me. There's a big, like, ancient thing that they're all trying to get. There are a bunch of criminals. They're betraying each other. There's fun and witty dialogue. You know, there's, you know, self-referential humor. There's, you know, goofiness. Like, okay, that felt like Uncharted. Uncharted to me is, in a way, Drake is not a cool character. Like, I know people want him. He's a loser. He talks to himself. He's always one step behind the bad guys. He looks into stuff more often than not. Where this one just kind of makes him seem like he's just a generic action star. Or actually, if anything, it's so easy as a generic action star. They got Mark Wahlberg, and, like, their big interaction is like, what, aren't you too young to bartend? Aren't you too old to go to prom? And I'm like, oh, that's how you're introducing us to these two characters? Yeah, it just doesn't look like anything that I haven't seen before done in an interesting way. And again, I'm not saying I'm a huge fan of Notice Red, but at least I got Notice Red. I'm like, okay, you're going for this big heist feel, and that's what I want from Uncharted.
Yeah, I didn't really get the feel of what they were, like, what they're tracking down. It's like, oh, it's ancient treasure, I guess.
Is it even that? Because he mentions the map, and I'm like, is that what they're hunting? And then that's kind of like, there's nothing else. And I would usually be like, oh, that's fine, you know, this is a teaser. But this movie's out in 4 months.
Yeah,
maybe they don't want to give away the entire plot. Maybe. And there's very little plot to, like, there's so little plot. They're like, we can't tell you anything.
I mean, that might be it, Tony. Like, because they name drop, like, a lot of stuff. Like, they Chloe shows up, they name drop Sam. So, like, they're talking about the, you know, Nate's brother. You know, I don't know.
It's also weird because it's like a prequel, and it's like, we're going to name drop everything and everyone.
Yeah. Oh, I hope it's good. I did like, I'm not buying Tom Holland as Nate at all.
That was an odd choice from the beginning. He's a great actor. Maybe he pulls it off.
I don't know. I felt the opening narration, I just felt like that was, it was on Peter giving a monologue. So,
like his, I don't know. There were some lines like in it where, like, you're right. Like, Nate's a loser, but like he has this charm to him in the games, at least.
Yes.
I didn't feel that Tom Holland was like, I don't know. Like, at one point, there's like, he's like holding his hand to his ear, like he's talking to him, like, and Mark Wahlberg, Sully is like, don't do that. You're like an idiot. Like, yeah. Like, and this whole thing, like, seems like Nate is an idiot. Like, he doesn't have a charm to him.
Yeah. And it's also weird because, like, the first thing I thought of with that was Casino Royale, which is why I don't know. I mean, maybe I watch a lot of spy movies, but I'm like, this gives me more of a spy vibe. It does, like, an adventure movie, which is what I think should be.
I just really look forward to Nate Drake getting bit by a radioactive spider and what happens afterwards. I think they are all set for that. They're ready.
But yep, that'll be that's out, I think, in February.
Yeah.
So
because everything video game ready is coming out in February.
Everything. I'm sure nothing coming out in February will be delayed, especially not Elden Ring, which never gets delayed.
I think it'll come in February.
Was that your second news item, Chris?
No, I did not have that. I totally forgot about that. But yeah, everything comes out in February.
Including Elden Ring.
Elden Ring, moment. Which is having some sort of beta tech test or something.
That you have to like enter a drawing to get it. It's so stupid.
So it's not even open. So
No, they're not letting everyone in.
Well, I guess there's that. That's supposed to come out end of February. We'll see. And I guess speaking of delays, I didn't have this in news either, but Cyberpunk 2077 was delayed till sometime next year, quarter one, I believe, for the next gen systems.
Now, is it,
I think Witcher 3 was also delayed.
Yes.
Along with that, yeah.
Is it next gen systems or is it just a next gen upgrade? I wasn't sure if it was a pure next gen.
It's the next gen version. Okay. Like, so you can play it on. I played it for 20 minutes or whatever I played it for on my Xbox One X, but the next version is the one that's coming out.
Yeah, so like the actual Series X and PS5 versions, sometime Q1 next year.
Which is actually what I've been waiting for. Like, I played the game, I'm like, okay, it works, it's fine. I don't know, I'm not that interested, but if I'm going to give it the old college try, I want it to be in like a real next-gen version.
Yep.
That's fair. I was going to say that, I don't have my ear to the ground. I've never seen a game that just has so much hype behind it that is like, oh, the next gen version is coming. It's like, oh, it's just kind of, it's just
the
like
the hype is gone. The hype is absolutely gone.
It is like defeated. Like, I remember, was it last year?
Yeah, it came out last year.
Wow. I remember there was some Troy. I forgot. I was watching E3, well, whatever, 2020. And they're like, oh, no, we can't say we're Game of the Year. That's going to be Cyberpunk. And then, like, less than a year later, it's like Cyberpunk's like a footnote. It's like, oh, yeah, it's delayed until Q1. I was like, and never, I was like, okay.
I don't know if I've ever seen a company burn the amount of goodwill
so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To a point where, like, well, that was expected. I guess that game, like we weren't expecting it to come out this year. Oh, well, like, like, as you said, just kind of, like, disinterest from the gaming community at this point. But the other piece of news I had was the Nintendo Online expansion
pack.
Expansion pack, yes, with the N64 and Genesis, which we talked about when they announced it, but they put a price tag on it. $30 extra?
Yes.
On top of a $20 service?
Yeah.
Yes, and I get that. And that's the part that confused me at first when people were so upset. I'm like, at the end of the day, they're not charging extra for any Like, yes, their online is still crappy, and I still dislike it. I really hate that phone app. I will dig that phone app every chance I get. But like, if you want just that, if you just want to play Smash Brothers, and it's still $20, which I think is reasonable.
The add-on shouldn't be more. It doesn't make sense.
What?
And it doesn't. I'm sorry. I don't care. Oh, you get the Animal Crossing shit. That's not. That should not be the selling point.
Well, it's not the selling point. I think it's part. Like, the selling point.
I think they're counting on it.
Honestly, at the end of the day, like, ultimately, it comes down to. I think this is very much. This is a very clear delineation between like what is value to you, because I think. Ultimately, if they didn't have a product people wanted, people would just say, like, this is $30 too much and not care. But the fact that people are so passionate about it means that they do want these N64 and Genesis games. They just don't want to pay $30 a month a year for them.
I couldn't care less about the Genesis games. I have them in a million places. That's
the thing, right? Like, for me, like, I love Genesis. Like, we've talked about it tons of times on here. But it's like, I have the majority of those games, if not all of them, available on multiple Genesis collections.
I have them three times over at least now.
Yeah.
So that is like, you could scratch that. Like, literally, I want to play Mario Kart 64 online, and I want to play
Ocarina really of Time. It. Like, that's
what that's I'm $30 to me. But I think that, like, it's just not enough, in my opinion. Like, well, I'm gonna get it because I want those things and I can afford $30. Like, it's whatever. But I just feel like it's not enough. Like,
yes, the thing to me really is less so that and more my hope, and this is very foolish because it's Nintendo, is like it's a future proof plan. I don't even necessarily mean like they're gonna add a ton of systems or you're gonna have, but like the idea is that like you'll get like it's like right now it's better than saying like it was $10 and like if they add Game Boy and Game Boy Advance in 6 months it's like, oh, we're gonna charge you another $10 for it, where it's like you get like, you know, like, it's something that you can they might that is very much true, but right now my hope is that like
it's
future proofing them to be like, okay, next E3 for example we can roll out like Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games, and GameCube. It's still included in this. I don't think I mean honestly at this point, if they included GameCube, that thing's going up to $100 a year.
I would pay it.
Yeah, and because I am very much in kind of your camp. On paper, there's like nothing that I necessarily care about. I don't necessarily want to play a bunch of Genesis games again. I don't want to play N64 games again. You know, I'm on a family plan, so it comes out to $10 a year for me, which is nothing. And I got an N64 controller because why not? Again, a guy with money and no responsibilities except for bills.
My weird thing is I have not played Ocarina of Time in such a long time now that I'm actually excited to play it again. Like, I did not do the 3DS. Was it 3DS that they did it on? Yeah.
Ocarina 3D.
Yeah, I did not play that one. I played Majora's Mask on a 3DS. But, you know, it's been so long that I'm actually, like, kind of pumped to play Ocarina in a few days, honestly.
Honestly, and then, speaking, you know, what I'm excited for is Wind Back. And it's because, like, Ocarina of Time, since it's come out, has not been a game that you haven't had access to. It's been on the GameCube, it's been on the 3DS, it's been on the Wii, the Wii U. You've had access to it. There's been ways to play it since it's come out multiple times. There's been remixes of it, like Master's Quest. There's been remasters of it, in a 3DS version.
It's been a while. Like, I think the last time I really gave it a go was probably that GameCube collection.
And I'm not saying you. I'm just saying like
it's been off there for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, Mario 64 literally was just part of a collection last year. But when back the Mario All Stars collection, you own that game.
Mario 64 was on
the All Stars collection that came out last year.
you, You bought this.
I'm thinking Mario Kart 64.
Mario 64.
That shows you how laser focused on the two games I want. I'm not going to play Mario 64. I don't give a shit. Fuck that.
You see, my problem with Mario 64 is that every other Mario Kart game exists. So
I like 64 a lot.
Mario Kart 64 is so much fun.
Yeah.
It is. I've never been a fan of it. I would prefer Super, and I prefer almost every 3D sequel after it. Double Dash, yes. Wii, 7. I think
8, 7 over 64?
I think 8 Deluxe is the best Mario Kart, hands down. That's already on the system. I mean, I don't know how it's going to... I mean, I guess Battle Mode for people. But I'm looking forward to Win Back, mostly because I think Win Back is kind of like the Wii Virtual Console with stuff like Sin and Punishment, where it's like, those are the games that are kind of like, not necessarily lost to time, but they're like games that really kind of existed on that system in a very particular way. Like Sin and Punishment wasn't a North American release until the Wii, and then Win Back was only released on the N64. Like, and I'm not saying it's a great game, I'm not even going to say it's the first game I'm going to play, but my hope is then that Nintendo finds those really kind of obscure N64 titles, because like the big N64 titles, there's only a handful of them, and a lot of them are lost to licensing. GoldenEye, most of the wrestling games, WCW and WWE, because like the talent involved or the companies have been dissolved. A lot of the sports games, like Courtside, NBA Jam, and then some of the other ones, it's like it was a novel thing back then, but like, I mean, would anybody be down to play the Resident Evil 2 N64 version versus like the remastered?
That was pretty good. Yeah, that's the thing with me too about like 64. It's like there's a handful of games I give a shit about, and I think that most of the rest don't hold up. Like I think Mario Kart 64, god damn it, Mario 64 doesn't hold up great for me. Like a lot of like I think 64 games aged badly in a way, and it's like yeah, I think the Zelda games are still amazing, and I like Mario Kart, but that's the thing you're saying, like you want these other things to come out. I'm like, what do I want? I have no idea.
Well, I will say this because I can't not say it, but one of my Twitter followers, Gomamon, had an N64 game that was really good. There's, you know, like, I mean, honestly, really, it's like if they're working with Rare, a lot of those games that have kind of like Body Harvest and Silicon Park was, that's retro Rockstar. But like that, I mean, games like War Gods,
because I've never played it.
Yes, and that's what I mean. There are like, I feel like the N64 more than anything else is kind of like Quest 64. Again, not necessarily a great game, but it's like one of those games that like, oh, you exist on the N64. I don't even know if Quest 64 is part of the initial lineup.
It is not.
But then for Nintendo, you get stuff like 1080 Snowboard, and you get the original Wave Race, F-Zero. But I would say stuff like Extreme G's. That is kind of one of those games that kind of just exists.
It's like, dude, if you played that now, is that like, you think it's...
I'm not saying I'm excited for that. I'm not saying I want it. But I do think that, I mean, Nick, everybody's always talking about preservation. Preservation does not mean you just get the good stuff.
Well, and it, you know, something like that, it'd be cool to have in the rotation. Like, even if I just put it on for 10 minutes, like, you're adding some value for me in a way. I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, I'm kind of getting the 64 games I want right off the bat here, and it's like, please add other systems. I just feel like the GameCube just holds up so much better. I feel like the GBA holds up so much better.
And it's, again, not to me, it's not necessarily about holding up better. It's like the N64 is very much the godfather of 3D platformers. Chameleon Twist, Glover. And again, not saying that these are great games.
I would say Glover. That'd be cool.
But I'm just saying, like, it would be nice. It's like, I feel the same way about the NES. Most of the NES games do not hold up. I mean, I cannot think of, outside of like maybe Super Mario Brothers 3, I can't think of an NES game that does not have a better 2D sequel on the Super Nintendo in some fashion.
Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'd say NES holds up better than N64 in a lot of respects, dude. Like,
the only reason I would say that is because we've continued making 3D games on that path. Where like 2D still make 2D games, but I feel like 2D games,
they try to make them look like NES games a lot.
Yeah, like, it's like they continue to make 2D games very much in the style of 2D games back then, where 3D games have continued to evolve. But again, that doesn't mean that it's like, you know, like, I still like watching old movies, even though technology has advanced since then. It would be nice to kind of go back and, you know, again, and then it may not even be for us. We're old heads. I assume all of us had N64s. If nothing else, we were all alive during that generation.
Yeah.
But there are people who have probably never got to experience stuff. Like, I mean, like, Diddy Kong 64, like, has that been available in anything since the N64? That would be a fantastic... I mean, I love that game so much more than Mario Kart 64.
Diddy?
Yes.
I'm sure... What was it? It was Diddy Kong Racing, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll show up at some point. I don't like it more than Mario Kart.
That's a really good-looking game for the system. You know what was really good looking for the system? It was the Mickey Speedway.
That is a good game though.
Yeah, that's pretty. I remember like I owned that game and I was like, I always try to like convince people to play it. Like, you know, like I know it's Mickey, but no, trust me, it's kind of cool. Like
and
bring the other Beetle one. Adventure racing.
Yes.
Do that. Bring that.
And see, that's what I mean. Like, there are a lot of games that kind
there's
of
there's some, awesome. Yeah.
Because, no, like, it. I mean, especially with the GameCube, PlayStation 2, and like that, I feel like that is the era we're kind of going back to now to kind of find games to remaster or re-release. Like, you've seen that with like, you know, cell shaded, well, whatever that car, cell damage. We've seen that with 13. You find that out of random games to be remade then or re-release, because again. Like you said, like that, because like I mean, I think the thing that's gonna be fascinating when people go back to the N64 era isn't the graphics or anything; it's the fact that those frame rates are shit. I am not a frame rates person, but if you go to N64 games, and those things will run like three frames per second. And I'm hoping they smooth a lot of that stuff out for the re-release. I'm not saying to make it better because that would, but yeah, stuff like Mega Man 64. There's a lot of games there. And I think the other game, the other system, as much as I would dub the GameCube, if Nintendo could work with them, is I think the Saturn's one of those systems that has also just kind of in this weird bubble by itself.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if we get them. I feel like we never get though. Like, Sega loves like re-releasing the Genesis games, but that's all they ever fucking do. Like,
and they had that era on the Xbox 360. Where
they do a little bit of Dreamcast.
Yeah. But the Saturn
they forget.
But it was like they did like what, 6 Dreamcast games or something, like,
which is about right.
I guess just
the one really want has never been re-released. Well, I guess it was technically on the GameCube, but
I don't know. I'm gonna get it just because I got money to burn, but I just feel like hopefully you're right, Earl, on that. It's just a thing that.
I'm gonna be 120% honest. I mean, I know Nintendo. Like, I'm hoping that, but I also know that is very much not necessary the case.
Like, guaranteed, yeah.
They're gonna be like, "Oh, we gave you like 364 games like 6 months ago. Are you not happy?"
Yeah, like even if you just stick to those systems, it's like. Is Paper Mario one of the games that's included?
Yes,
is it? Yeah, I think that game will hold up. I think that game
is it.
Let me just double check.
So the list I have here is Super Mario 64, Mario Kart 64.
I think Paper Mario is in Wave 2 because there's these games, and then there's games that are coming in in November or December because they have that.
The October games, yeah, it's not on the list for October 25th.
Okay. I think that game will hold up. So there's something to look forward to. I don't know.
My problem with the Genesis games, and this is always the problem with them, is that, like, and earlier you kind of mentioned it with the N64 stuff, is that some of my favorite stuff is licensed.
Yeah.
So, like, you ain't getting no cool spot.
Right, or, like, You're not getting those. You're not getting those EA sports games.
Yeah,
like you're not getting NHL. You're not getting Madden. You're not getting the Midway sports games like NBA Jam or, you know, the.
That was a Genesis strength. You know?
Yeah. Okay. Just real quick, because I have the second list. And I guess the Banjo-Kazooie, Pokemon Snap, Majora's Mask, Kirby 64, Mario Golf, Paper Mario, and F-Zero X.
Wait. Say the last couple again. Three, four.
Mario Golf, Paper Mario, and F-Zero X.
That's a good second batch.
But you see, the thing, my fear is like, is that the second batch, or is that like Nintendo being like, this is one a month until E3?
Yeah, that could be trouble.
Because if the launch lineup is Mario 64, Ocarina of Time, Mario Kart 64, Star Fox 64, Sin and Punishment, Dr. Mario, Mario Tennis 64, Win Back and Yoshi's Story, that's a good solid start. And then you get the Genesis games. And then like, even if these are split in half and you get half in December and half in December, I think this is a good first 3 months.
Yeah.
But if this is all, if this is split into like you get one of these a month for the next 6 months, that's a different story.
It's got they've been so bad with the NES and Super Nintendo lineup so far.
Yeah. And again, that's why my fear is like they're gonna make these are the two systems and then you know you're not getting any Mario parties for now because they don't want to cut the egg out of Mario Party Superstars.
Yeah, that's fine because I'm gonna get that, and that's kind of gonna be the best of all worlds with that one. So, but I really hope they like I'm gonna be the sucker here because I just want to play Ocarina, but do more for that $30. I say.
I'll play Mario Kart 64 with you on them.
Hell yeah!
My upset is like I realize like there's not a lot of N64 games actually co-op. But yeah, I am down because like Sin and Punishment is co-op, but that's a weird one. Like one person controls the controller and one person controls the aim and reticule. But yeah, I mean, online Mario Kart 64, online Mario Tennis.
That could be fun too. Yes,
even Jeff, online.
Oh, that's the best tennis game.
I think this is the first Star Fox with online play.
We are definitely playing some Mario Kart. Like, I don't know, let's take it back. Yeah.
And then, I mean, on the other end, and again, Streets of Rage with Streets of Rage 2 with online, Contra Hard Corps with online. Dr. Robotnik, Mean Bean Machine. Oh, yeah, Golden Axe. I'm here for that.
I mean, yeah, but it's like, again, I have Streets of Rage 2 in probably a bunch of places that I could play them on. Like, technically, if I messed up, we could do it. Like,
let's call it Spade a Spade. 4 is much better.
4 was actually very cool, yeah.
All right, well, that launches, I think, in a couple days, actually, early next week.
Monday, yes, Monday.
So we may have some initial impressions of that next week.
Yeah.
I think that we're gonna have impressions of something.
Of old games, yes.
That were all like.
Let me tell you about.
This is not a good price for it, but we're all gonna get it. Yeah. So.
Have you ever heard of this game, Ocarina of Time? Let me tell you about it. Or Ocarina, whatever, however you say it.
I'm also curious how Ocarina, as you say, holds up in the post Breath of the Wild world for people.
I still like my traditional Zelda. And...
I do, but when you realize that even Breath of the Wild is almost 4 years old now, and Ocarina of Time is like, yeah, I'm curious to see people who got in with that stuff.
I mean, for Jeff, that's just comfort food, right? Like, you've played it so many times already.
Yeah. Again, though, it's been so long, I will not. I guarantee you there will be a point where I'm looking shit up like, what am I supposed to do now? Or what the fuck is this room?
Well, we'll have some of that next week. I may start House of Ashes, the third Dark Pictures game. They evidently just announced a fourth one and the final one in season one coming up sometime next year, I guess.
Which makes sense. I mean, they usually wait until people beat the game because the previous game has like the teaser for it.
Yeah, I guess the teaser is at the end of this one, so it's leaked out already that the new one will be coming, and that is the end of the first season of these. But they've been okay.
Now I forget, you play solo or you play with somebody?
I play by myself.
Okay,
so it's a different experience. And you've played co-op, yes?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like very different from mine because like you're only seeing part of the story.
Yes, and it's always fun because me and my friend both hate them, but we both are playing them together, so I don't hate them, but like the last one really solid me with the ending. I don't know if this counts as news. It was, I mean, it is news, but I really hate CG trailers. But we did get New York's at Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League this past weekend. And also the announcement of a DC Super Pets game, which looks like a mobile game. I don't know why that's coming out on consoles, but whatever. So Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad, I want to say look nice, but they're CG.
You can't tell.
I dig the humor. And the Suicide Squad trailer, and like what I saw of Gotham Knights, but again, like you made us wait more than a year, and you couldn't give us actual. And
this was
day.
All we got. Where is the actual game? I have no idea what this game is.
Were there dates attached to them?
I got. Were there? I don't remember. I don't think so.
Okay,
what? Like,
I was just wondering.
Yeah, they're just 2022. Both of them now, and there's no date. So.
I mean, I kind of got the feeling from the Gotham Knights trailer that, like, you were playing as each character separately. That's kind of how it looked.
Well, I have no idea. Co-op as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. And it seems like the story is centered on Nightwing with the other ones. And it's centered on the Court of Owls, again, which is one of my favorite reads in addition to comics. But, yeah, watching the trailer, I guess Penguin's in it for some, like, backstory. But yeah, it's one of those ones where I'm like, I want to be excited for you. I try to be, but you're not giving me anything to work with, like, at all. So, you need to work on that.
All right.
Was there anything else? Is there any controversy this week?
I don't
know. No controversy.
I think so. Nothing that popped out at me.
And the only other thing I can think of is I think Doom Eternal announced DLC today, and yes.
That could be okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a nice update, and I always enjoy. I don't own Doom Eternal, but I assume it's on Game Pass.
Yeah. It's a weird one because it is gone off and on Game Pass, but I believe like Sony said, I think it's there now.
Yeah, outside of that, I can't think of anything else, and we've already been going for 2 hours, so.
Well, we'll be back next week with probably more Back for Blood. Hopefully, we get through the jukebox section.
I've already gotten through it. There's more game afterwards.
Ooh, more games.
There were lots of dots after that one. So we'll play some of that. Jeff and I might play some Mario Kart 64.
Definitely. We have to, I don't know, we'll figure it out.
Try and play some of that. And we'll play some House of Ashes, and I'll have an update on that. So, come back next week and go play some games this weekend. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.